All right, well, as we get started this morning, I want to show you a cool picture here. Look at that. So this is Jackie Soltis in Helsinki. She's out there now for 3 months as a summer missionary helping the church that we work with in Finland. And then Tim, one of our members, was on a business trip and decided to go visit Jackie this morning at church. And so they sent us some photos. I think that's pretty cool. So we thought we'd share that with you. Also, our Guatemala team is headed back today. They just landed in Houston. We got 24 of us. We're there all week serving the church down there at Iglesia Galilea, and we'll be excited to share so many stories with you. I was sick most of the week. I got sick the day before I left and was in bed for about 2.5 days down there. And so I was telling Sean, I said, I think I have felt like the most worthless Guatemala mission team member that there has ever been. But anyway, the rest of our team did really great things, and you guys will get to hear about that in a little bit. All right, well, we are starting to look at the book of Proverbs this morning, and you might ask yourself, what is a proverb? You may have thought that before, but basically, it is a short wisdom saying about how to live. Statements of truth that if they are followed usually have a blessed outcome. There's always exceptions, but Proverbs is giving us general truth that leads to God's blessing in our life. And so Proverbs, as we get into this, it's a very practical book that wants to give us knowledge and advice for how to live as Christ followers in our world. It's very practical book. And so we're calling this series Walking in Wisdom. And so we're going to look at the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, which is kind of a father telling his son. It's kind of a story about how to walk in wisdom. And then we'll come back and look at the latter part of the book at another time, which has many of those, what you think of, just random wisdom sayings. And so Proverbs 1:1, it introduces the book to us here. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." And so this book is being presented to us as having come from King Solomon. This is Solomon's wisdom. And if you know anything about Solomon, he was considered to be one of the most wise kings that Israel ever has had. The Bible even says he's one of the wisest men on the earth, that God blessed him with wisdom. In fact, you can read about that in 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings 4:32 says that he spoke 3,000 proverbs. That's a lot, I can tell you. And then here in the book of Proverbs, we have a little less than 1,000. But the book of Proverbs is presenting this book to us as God's wisdom, having been given to Solomon and now passed on to us so that we can live good lives as Christ followers before God. So have you ever asked yourself this question? What should I do now? Maybe you're asking yourself that, thinking about Monday morning. Dealing with a lot, right? You're like, I just need to know the next steps to take in my life. Sometimes you just want to do that thing like the old game show, like go and phone a friend, like, man, I need your help. Like, what do I do now with these things that are coming into my life? Like, how do I faithfully live as a Christian in this world at this moment with the things that I'm facing in my family and in my job? And maybe even more broadly, you might be asking, well, what is the actual truth in the world that I can stand on? I mean, it's quite a debate out there about what truth is right now, right? Like, where am I going to go? What are the principles? Like, I need some guideposts to know what to do next. Solomon says, I got you, right? He's like, here it is. This is godly wisdom that if you will take and receive it, you'll know what to do before God. In fact, you'll live a really great life with lots of peace in your heart. That's his promise to you, right? So we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 1 today, and Solomon is going to show us the foundation, where the foundation of true wisdom is found. Basically, what's the starting point to living a good life before God and in this world? And then he's going to begin to help us identify what wisdom looks like and sounds like in contrast to what folly or foolish living looks like and sounds like. So let's jump right in here and look at the foundation of wisdom in Proverbs chapter 1 in verses 1 through 7. Here's what it says. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles." Then he gives us this poignant proverb. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction." Okay, so Proverbs 1:2, right here, Solomon's telling us that I'm giving you this work so that you can know wisdom and instruction. You'll know how to walk. If you know anything about this word wisdom, there's a lot of words they're using here: wisdom, knowledge, discernment, all these things. They all kind of swirl together and overlap a bit. But knowledge is knowing a lot about things. You can know a lot of facts about certain things, but not be wise. You ever met somebody like that? It's kind of like the savant that knows all the sports statistics. Man, I can't get that out. The savant that knows all the sports statistics, but he needs your help to tie his shoes, right? This is the guy that knows all the stuff, but he's not necessarily wise. And so wisdom not only knows the facts, it knows God's truth, but it knows how to apply the truth and when to apply the truth so that it brings about the best benefit. This book has been given to us to help us make right decisions, right? I think generally we all want to make right decisions. We want to apply God's truth at the right time and make good decisions. And notice what he says there in verse 3. He says, "This book is going to give us instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity." Okay, this sounds like a page out of your DEI manual at work, right? Like these are words we know. These are Bud's words that our culture is swirling all around and trying to define and understand. Justice for all, equity for all, righteous doing, that means doing the right things rightly, and wise dealing. You know, even this month, right, our city and our country, they're celebrating the various definitions of these words and what they think they mean. We've seen it. And as a Christian, this ought to perk up your interest just a bit here. Our world is trying to figure out these words, is trying to figure out what these things mean. We're trying to wrestle with it with our friends and our family and the people we work with. And Solomon says, it's right here. You want to understand these words? I'm going to teach you, but perk up, listen, right? Listen to what I got to say. And we often think of these words like justice and equity. We think in legal terms, right? Like you think of a judge that everyone will get what they deserve. Everybody will have opportunity and it will be enforced and there will be no unfairness. Okay. But don't you see something here? Solomon is pitching to us something way bigger than just legal fairness. Okay. This is not just how to be fair. He's giving us a bigger vision that encompasses politics, that encompasses our social life, it encompasses our interpersonal harmony in our heart, that a rightly ordered world and life as God designed it to be. This is what he's presenting to us. Saying, you want to get it all organized? You want to know how to do it right? You want to have justice and righteousness? It's right here. I'm going to show you. God has given it to me, and I'm passing it on to you. Okay. Or maybe another way to put it would be, it's a pathway to shalom. This is this Hebrew concept of wholeness and peace, that everything is in its right place, and my heart is in its right place with God, and I have peace with myself and with God and with everything around me. This is where Solomon wants to take that. And maybe you think this morning, like, that sounds really good. Like, I need some peace in my life. I need to know what God thinks about what I need to do so that I can find some peace because I haven't had peace much lately. That there's a way to organize your life that brings about peace in your heart, and it can spill out into our society. By the way, youth, kids, this book is for you. I want you to see this. Thanks for waving over there. Yeah, I see you. Proverbs 1:4 says, "The wisdom of Solomon can give knowledge and discernment to the youth." Solomon wrote this book for you guys. And we all get to listen in as he speaks to the youth. In fact, he wrote it to his teenage son, likely. And so he's writing this specifically to you guys, and we get to listen in. So that means take off your headphones, right? Put your phones down. Like, let's listen up. Solomon's got some good things to say to you today through this book and the whole time. And no one feels this battle with the culture more than you guys do. And Solomon's saying, if you'll get this, if you'll listen to me, actually, you'll be the wise one. You'll be able to cut through all that stuff in the world, and you'll know what to do as a teenager growing up into adults. So I want to challenge you. Let's listen, guys. Like, let's listen up. And in fact, I would challenge all of us, take one chapter a day this month and read Proverbs, right? And just meditate on what God wants to speak to you this morning or in this month. All right, then he gives us the starting place of wisdom. This is where we're going. Solomon sets off as his first proverb from all of the book, right, to set the foundation of wisdom. He says it right there, Proverbs 1:7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding, and fools despise wisdom and instruction." In fact, he's going to say it again to bookend this thing in chapter 9. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." This is where it all starts. Let's unpack that just a little bit. Solomon's saying, if you want to know where right living starts, the starting point to a rightly ordered life and world, it starts with God. Bar none. That's it. Starts with God. And he's saying, this is not just any God. It starts with Yahweh, the covenant-making, faithful, loving, merciful, gracious, and just God found throughout the whole Bible. Solomon uses this name Yahweh here for the Lord to show us it's not just any God. There is one God where wisdom starts. And he has shown himself to be true, and he is inviting you into a relationship. And then getting wisdom then requires a couple things on our part. First of all, if it starts with God, then it requires an acknowledgement on our part that there is a God, that Yahweh is out there. I got to say, there is a God in the universe, and he created everything, and there is a way to do things that he has set up. And secondly, that if there is a God, I have a responsibility to live in a certain way before him as his created creature. This is what God asks of us if he is the starting point of wisdom. And so right out of the gate, if you want to get wisdom, you got to make a choice. Right? If you want right living, you want to live in the truth, you want to do the right things, you want to see justice, equity, all those things, Solomon's saying, will you acknowledge God as Lord? Will you submit yourself to this God who has revealed himself, who is good? Will you acknowledge him and submit to him in your life? Or will you try to rebel against him and try to do things in your own way? In fact, Solomon says, by the way, it'd be really foolish to reject God in your life, right? If the starting point of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, that's acknowledging that there is a God and I have a responsibility to him, the opposite would be to say there is no God and I'm running far from him. And he says, that's foolish. In fact, David says it too, Psalm 14:1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And so Solomon is saying true wisdom has one starting point, and that is with God. And this answers the question for us of why we could have such different views in our world on what justice and equity should look like in our world. Listen, if you start with any other starting point, if you get God out of the way and you put something else in there, and usually we put ourselves in that seat, then you're going to end up in a bad place, right? A bad starting point doesn't get you closer to the truth. It actually launches you towards a bad ending point that's far away. You know, just the other day, I got a bad starting point. My son needed to go to someone's house, and so I was given the address via text, and I plugged that text into my Apple Maps, and that thing took me to the very opposite end of the valley of where I needed to be. Right? And all along the way, I go, man, this seems like it's really far out there. My son goes, yeah, this seems like it's far out there. Meanwhile, knowing that we were going in the wrong direction. And so we drove 20 minutes way, or almost 30, out into way far west Jordan. And we get to the house. He goes, this is not it. He's like, I knew that way back on I-15. Well, why didn't you fill me in on that? Right? I love how Apple Maps does that to you. There's just some addresses that it's like it doesn't know where that is. And so we were able to find the address. But a bad starting point will lead you to an even worse ending point. That's what Solomon is saying here. If you start with the wrong place, you'll definitely end up far from the right place. If you think there is no God, as Solomon is saying, then you're going to end up in a godless world and very confused. He's saying, you got to start with what's true, that there is a God, and you got a responsibility to Him. And if you will get that, then you will begin to walk into wisdom. If you think if there is no God, then usually we put ourselves in that place, right? We think the world is purely an interaction of atoms and time and space, and each man then gets to decide what's right in his own mind. And there's lots of different answers, and there's lots of different versions of right and wrong. In fact, I'd say if you're wrestling this month with the debates of our culture, this should help us have compassion on the world around us when we realize, you know, we're often debating the end of the question, like what things mean, but have compassion on people that they started with the wrong foundation. And anytime you have the wrong foundation, you will get the wrong end. And God calls us to have compassion on people and begin to show them, actually, you need to start with this foundation. And if you start with this foundation, it will lead you into wisdom and you'll begin to get the right answers as you press into who God is. But this is the story of humanity, right? We remove God from His throne in our lives in the garden and we put ourselves in it and wanted to be God ourselves. And the Bible calls that sin and we've run headlong into the wrong destination. And Solomon is calling us back. In fact, I want to show you something cool here. I want us to put on our Old Testament thinking hats for a second this morning. I know you love it when I do this, but I'm going to make you put it on this morning. Put on your Old Testament hat, and I want to show you what Solomon is doing. Solomon is inviting you here at the beginning of Proverbs to do a reversal of what happened in the garden. Okay, I want you to see this. In Genesis 2, 9, and 17, if you remember, God put a tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden, commanded Adam and Eve not to eat from it. And we know their story, influenced by the serpent. They said, thanks for that advice, God, but we think we'll go our own way. We're going to disobey you because we want to be God. And they ate of that tree. And that Hebrew word for knowledge there, da'at, tree of knowledge of good and evil, is the same word that Solomon is inviting you to get in Proverbs 1:4. That there is knowledge for the youth to obtain, okay? That's one piece of this. All these words swirl together a bit. Look, Genesis 3:6 also, when Adam and Eve sinned against God and took some of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it says that Eve looked at the tree, saw it was good, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Okay, think about this for a second. She took an aid and gave it to her husband. And previously, in the verse just previous, in Genesis 3:5, the serpent deceived her, said, you will become like God, knowing good and evil. And so she said, if this will make me wise, then I want to take part of it. Proverbs 1:3, Solomon uses the same word. He says, to make one wise. This was in Eve's heart when she took a bite of the fruit, and Solomon is inviting us, if you want to receive instruction in wise dealing, to make you wise, this is the place. This is how we're going to do it. If you want to be wise, just like Adam and Eve desired to be wise, then let me point you to the right place. Actually, wisdom starts with a fear of the Lord, which is the exact thing that Adam and Eve and the serpent had none of. And what he's saying is, you have a chance to come out from under the curse of humanity, of sin and death, if you will place your life back under the reign of God. This is the beginning point of wisdom. That's what we forsook in the garden. And now I'm telling you, and trust me, Solomon's tried everything, and he's telling you, following the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And that sets us on a trajectory back towards God and back towards the garden. Okay, you can take your thinking caps off for a second here. So right here at the start of the book, I want to ask you this question that Solomon is asking us. Will you acknowledge God as God in your life? Will you let Yahweh be the Lord of your life? That's what he's asking us, ruler of your life. Maybe you've run from him, you've tried everything under the sun as Solomon did, and it works good sometimes, but you keep running into dead ends. And Solomon says, you really want to be wise? You want your life to be good? You want to know how to make wise decisions and do good? Bow yourself and submit yourself to God first. That's the foundation. That's where it all starts. Will you let Yahweh be Lord of your life? Now, we know later on the Bible says you do that through giving your life to Christ, that God sent his Son to die for our sins and all the ways that we have rebelled against God, and that as we give him our life and ask him to forgive us, he comes into our life, he fills us with his Spirit, and he gives us understanding of how to live before him in relationship with him. If you haven't done that, I encourage you, do that today, right? Give your life to Jesus. Begin setting Christ, God, at the center of your life, the foundation, and he's saying that is the first step to peace and real wisdom as you walk with him. Now, we might ask this too. How does the fear of the Lord, in other words, making Yahweh king of your life, lead you into wisdom? Well, number one, you're beginning to rightly order your world. See, being a Christian is all about learning how to rightly order your world, to take it from disorder back into order under the God who created it. You get that foundation in place, and then everything else begins to more and more fall into place under God, who God is and what he has created us to be. In fact, this is a lifelong endeavor of a Christian, right? Like, you will never be done growing with Jesus until you stand before him and everything's made right by him. But he's asking us to come under his rule and reign, and as we do that, as we place ourselves under his life, we have now got the foundation piece of our life in order, and everything else begins to follow. And so we need to acknowledge him and live under his ways. Secondly, I think the fear of the Lord leads us into wisdom as we're transformed by who God is. We begin to see God for who he truly is and all his glory. I mean, it changes you. It's like when Isaiah met God in chapter 6 of Isaiah. He sees God in all of his glory, and what does he do? He falls on his knees and says, woe is me. I'm a sinful man among a sinful people. And our gracious God reaches out and touches him and says, you're healed. Right? He begins to transform us. Like, you don't want to get on the wrong side of this awesome God. He is terrifyingly awesome, and it motivates us to get our lives right with him. Our heart is open to hear from God more and more as we see him for who he is and live before him rightly in creation. Our heart should say, God, I want to know you. And I know you're really big and I'm really small, but I want to live my life in accordance with how you've made it. So Solomon comes to us this morning, says wisdom starts with God. And you would be a fool to start anywhere else. Like, we just got to believe that as Christians. So will you submit your life to him or not? Now, Solomon begins to show us what wisdom looks like and sounds like in contrast to what folly looks like. So let's look secondly here at listening to the right voices. So look at verses 8 through 19 with me. We're going to look at verses 8 and 9 first. Here's what he says. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. So Solomon does a really cool thing here now, right? first couple chapters of Proverbs, he's going to record a conversation that he had with his teenage son. Remember, this book is about teaching youth, and so he's going to begin to speak wisdom into his son's life. And he does it first by saying, "Son, you need to listen to me and your mom. Like, this is where wisdom is found." And I want you to see this. As we place God in our life as the primary authority, the foundation, he then points us to the other authorities he's put in our life so that we can learn wisdom. In fact, God is the wisest authority in our life, but he has put others' authority in our life, and the family is one of them. And so we begin to rightly order our lives under God, and then we begin to further order our lives under the godly authorities that he has put into our life. And as for kids and youth, one of those authorities God has given you is your parents. This is part of it. And he wants us to listen to them. And at one level, I just want to speak to parents for a second. This is a great challenge to me as a parent, actually. I mean, like, do I have godly wisdom to give to my kids? Can I be like Solomon and say, "Son, daughter, you need to listen to this guy." Right? If you want to live a wise life, I want you to listen to me. Can you, like Solomon, say to your kids, "Guys, listen, I got godly teaching. I want to, me and your mom, that we want to give to you." In fact, if you're a parent this morning, I'd say just evaluate your life, right? If you're not there, ask God to do a work in your life so that you can begin to instruct your kids in the way they should go. Like, you got to pursue the Lord so that you can teach them how to pursue the Lord and know what it looks like to walk in their lives. This last Thursday, I was teaching a group of men from Iglesia Galilea there, and they were celebrating Father's Day. They celebrated it kind of a little off from us. And so we were talking about fathers, and we were having this discussion about, you have a God-given opportunity and responsibility as a father and as a parent to share the gospel with your kids. Right? This is what God has called us to do, right? You can look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, we should love God with all of our heart. So, I mean, you have a devotional life and relationship with God, and then God says you need to turn around and teach your kids how to do it. And that's exactly what Solomon is modeling for all of us. And really, it's a challenge to all of us. Are you willing to listen to the godly authorities that God has put in your life? For kids, it's their parents. For adults, it may be pastors in their life. It may even be other friends that God has placed there to speak into their life. The Christian life is about rightly ordering your life one step at a time as we place ourselves under God's reign and under those others that he has put in our life. And where are my children and youth at again here? Children, where are you guys? Come on. Oh, there's one. Okay. What about you? Okay, you guys are awake over there. There we go. All right. I'll ask you guys this morning, this is God's challenge to you. Are you willing to place your life under the authorities that Christ has called you to live under? Right? Like, are you willing to submit your life to your parents and listen to them? This is what confronts us this morning. Or will you reject it? And Solomon say, that'd be crazy to reject what they can speak into your life. So Solomon is challenging us this morning to check our hearts. And if in rebellion of godly authority in our life, we try to cast it off or ask God to forgive us if we've been doing that and then place our lives under those that he has brought to teach us. Now, wisdom starts with God. He teaches us often through godly authorities. And then he says, this is what it looks like. Look at verses 10 through 19. Here's what it says. He says, look, I'm going to tell you a little story, son. My son, if sinners entice you, don't consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods and we shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us and we will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood, for in vain is a net spread and in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood, and they set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain and takes away the life of the possessor. Okay, I want you to see this here. He's saying this is what now the voice of the foolish and the unwise, the evil, sounds like. He's saying, look, the voice of folly, and folly is going to be a person here in a little bit, but the voice of folly and sin is enticing. Okay, it is persuasive, it is convincing, it's usually holding out something that we want, and it's hard to resist. James 1, 13 through 15 talks about the temptation of our hearts, that we are lured and enticed by our desires, and then eventually we give in. That gives birth to sin, and sin brings about death ultimately. That's what he's demonstrating us here. I mean, that's the hard thing about sin. It's really satisfying to our hearts. Like, sin is temptation, sin is hard because it satisfies us for a short time. There's something about it. It does something for us. Like, you don't give in to pornography because it's not satisfying. It is. But it'll lead you down the road to death, right? I was with Karsten Kundi this week in Guatemala building a house in Zapote. And it was 2 million degrees. And we were sweating. And we were digging post holes for this house that we're going to set. And the post holes, you know, when you're digging post holes on the side of a 13,000-foot volcano, there's lots of debris and lots of rocks. And normally you have to dig, you'll hit a rock, and you got to dig up this rock or break it up. And it's a really long process. And Karsten dug a hole with no problem, just straight down in dirt. And Karsten stood back. He said, man, that was really easy. Right? So, man, that was easy. So we began to double-check our measurements, and turns out it was 6 inches from where it needed to be. He said, now I see why the hole was so easy, because it was in the wrong place. And I said, Karsten, I think that's a really great parable for life, right? Like, we are so easily enticed by sin and run the wrong way, and it's really easy. In fact, Jesus says this in Matthew 7. Look, the gate is wide, the road is easy, and lots of people are headed the wrong direction. It's not easy to follow the path of righteousness. It's small. The gate is small, and there's only a few people going that way. And Solomon's saying, here's an example of the enticing easy, right? He's saying, look, if some of your buddies' son come to you and they say, like, hey, man, we just figured out a really great way to make some money. You want in on this, right? You need to pause because that's the voice of folly. That's what he's saying. This will end badly, son. Like, hey, if you will sell these special oils in this pyramid scheme and you all get money for... Oh, sorry. That was something else. Saying, hey, I have this really great way to cheat some people out of money, and you can have a part of the purse if you're with us. It will be quick, it will be fast, and we're going to make piles of money. Nobody will know the better. There you go. Now, I want you to think about the irony of this situation for a second. The guys are saying, hey, we're going to steal money from people, but we're going to pay you. Really? Right? You think that's going to come through? Like, this is the illogical nature of our sin, this crazy enticement of sin, that we could think we would cheat others, and those that with which we would cheat others would actually be true to us and pay us. That's crazy. It's kind of like when you have spouses that decide to cheat on one another, right? They get blinded by the sex in their eyes. They begin to cheat on their spouse, and they tell the person they're cheating with, I know I'm cheating on them, but I'd never cheat on you. That's crazy talk, right? That's what Solomon is pointing out. This is craziness, son. Like, you hear this kind of talk, you need to run as fast as you can. That's folly. That's evil. Proverbs 1:15, he says, son, when you see and hear this kind of thing, that's what folly looks and sounds like. Man, don't walk away from that. You need to run away from those guys. This is the voice of greed. This is the voice of unjust gain. They're going to destroy people's lives, and you don't want to be found by them. And implied by this, if we're putting God in the center of our life, implied by this, then especially if you believe there is a God and one day you got to answer to him, you don't want to be a part of that. Stand before him and give an answer to the authorities in your life and the grand authority above that, who was God. In fact, Proverbs 1, 17 through 19 says, these guys think they've outsmarted the system to make a quick dollar, but they actually have set a trap for their own life, right? When you reject God, take him out of the center of your life, begin to go these ways, right? Be enticed by our sin. He's saying you're setting a trap for your own life. It will come to light and it will kill you. This is the voice of folly. This is what it sounds like. This is what it looks like. We might have to ask ourselves this morning, what voice of folly are we listening to right now in our life? What voice are we letting the temptation of our heart lead us into unwise dealing because it's something we want? God says we got to make some changes. Now, in contrast to this, he's going to teach his son about this, what wisdom looks like and what it sounds like. So we're going to end looking at this, the call of Lady Wisdom here now in verses 20 through 33. Here's what it says. In contrast now, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you and I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded it, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they'll eat the fruit of their own way. They have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and at ease without dread of disaster. Now, I love what Solomon does here, and I want you to see it. You know, what's a great way to entice a young man to listen and seek wisdom? Make her a really fantastic woman, right? I mean, this is a man that knows how to get a teenage boy, a college-age boy's heart. You make wisdom to be this fine woman that is greatly desired, right? Pretty smart move by a guy that struggled with women, right? He knows the allurement. Might have learned something here. And Solomon's saying, son, instead of these nasty guys that want to make a quick buck, man, there's this woman out there. She is quite fine. In fact, she's a little mysterious. And she is out making an appeal to you, and you want to get to know her. You know what his son says? Ooh, you got my attention, right? Like, I want to get to know this woman, right? If you're a woman in the audience, just reverse it, right? Make it out to be a really great guy. I don't know what that would be. But you girls do. And, right? Like that, you know, youth, like youth always want a great boyfriend or a girlfriend, trying to figure out this thing after puberty of what it means to relate to the opposite sex. And you get in there and you primp your hair and you get all ready. And Solomon's saying, you ought to chase wisdom the same way. Like, get after that woman because she's really great. And what does Lady Wisdom do throughout the book of Proverbs is she tells us a lot about the character of wisdom itself. And notice this, even in our passage right here. What does Lady Wisdom show us about the nature, what wisdom looks like and sounds like? First thing she shows us is wisdom is always conducted in light. Right? Like, this fine lady, you can hear her all over town. You can find her at the places you like to go. She's at the mall. She's downtown. She's at the places, the gates where everybody hangs out, and she is making this appeal like, listen to me, I got some good stuff here. She speaks out in the open. It's meant to teach us that the ways of wisdom always proceed in the light, out in the open for all to see. Okay? As opposed to what just happened with these other guys. Like, there's this contrast with the secret dealings of these other guys that are foolish friends calling him into sin, and Lady Wisdom, who's out just publicly saying, like, this is the way to go. Like, you ought to follow me, right? In fact, later we're going to see this other lady compared to Lady Wisdom, Lady Folly, who also speaks behind closed doors. But Solomon's saying to us right here, righteous dealings, wisdom is always done in the light. It's really a simple diagnosis for us in our sin. Is it done in the light or not? Generally, things done in the dark aren't wisdom. They're not good. Wisdom proceeds from open and honesty in the light. In fact, I'd say if you've been tempted to do something in the dark, in the secret, man, that should be a warning light to your heart that we're not on the right track. Right? That's not wisdom. Because wisdom is conducted in the light for all to see. It has nothing to hide and nothing to apologize for. It's the right way before God. She also teaches us this, that wise living leads to a secure life in God. This is her invitation to us. Proverbs 1:23. Look, if you'll listen to me, turn at my reproof, and the reproof here is to fear God, put him as the foundation of your heart, order your life around that starting point, then she will pour out her spirit and her words will be known to you. In other words, it's kind of like you going out there and you turn on a hose spigot and it just starts flowing, right? You get this right. Wisdom's going to start flowing and it won't stop. And Proverbs 1:33 says, if you will listen to me, fear God first, then you will dwell secure, you will dwell at ease, and you will not have dread of disaster in your life. In other words, it's not that bad things won't happen, but it means you got a God on your side who you can trust to see you through everything. And you don't have to worry about what your dealings may have brought upon you because you've done everything in the light. And you've done it, as wisdom has said, before God. Because you know the God that's in charge and you can trust him of all things. You know, this is a good word for us today, right? Like, our security in life and in this world feels like it's at an all-time low. Maybe you've been feeling that. There's threats of wars, rumors of wars, and more wars. Maybe you're worried about how you're going to pay for things with ever-increasing costs. Our souls are not at ease. And we're afraid of what shoe will drop next, health concerns, car wrecks, politics, loss of job, whatever it may be, you go, my heart is not at ease. Lazy wisdom says you put God at the center of your life, you don't have to worry about disaster. Not that it's not going to come, but that God is with you, right? And you have somebody who is on your side. Ben, you can come on up. Finally, she shows us here in this first chapter, if you refuse not to fear God, then you can expect disaster. He's been saying this all along, Proverbs 1:26. If you reject God in your life, then Lady Wisdom says she's going to stand back and laugh at you. Like, I told you what you needed to do, and you rejected me, and I got no sympathy for where you're at now. Proverbs 1:29-32, because they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. And wouldn't listen to my call, they will eat the fruit of their own way and be destroyed. Lady Wisdom saying, look, it will be no surprise if you don't build your life on God. If that's not your foundation, you build it somewhere else, you will face the disaster. You will face the end of the road that isn't where you want it to go and is the wrong ending. She says, look, Proverbs 1:22, stop living for simple pleasures. Stop being duped and trading your life for trivial things. I have something way better for you, and it's to begin by placing God at the center of your life and begin to learn wisdom. So as we come to an end here this morning, you might, again, still be asking yourself, what am I going to do? Right? Like, how do I make decisions for what's next? Solomon says, come to God and get godly wisdom. Right? Set him as the foundation of your life, and then he will begin to show you how everything else fits under that. Godly wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. That we place ourselves in submission to God and begin to learn and order life from him. Solomon says it'd be foolish to start anywhere else. It'll lead you to the wrong ending. So again, we got a decision to make. Is it going to be following God or not? Is it going to be God at the center of my life or not? That's the decision Solomon puts before us this morning. Maybe you've never done that before. You can do that in Jesus. Say, Jesus, come be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins and set me on a road towards wisdom. Maybe you've had Jesus as Lord, but you've kind of set him aside for a while. God says, come on back, right? Let's get back on the right foundation. Take yourself out of that place. Maybe God's asking you to repent of something this morning in that line. And then we begin a lifelong journey of learning what wisdom's voice sounds like. As we begin with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for our time together, and thank you for your word that speaks so accurately into our hearts. God, I pray right now that you would forgive us for the ways that we have taken you off the throne and put our own life there, or found some other starting point, some other philosophy that we have put there, and it has caused us to run in so many wrong directions. God, forgive us. For those that don't know you, Father, I pray you meet them right now, and they would invite you into their life. For those of us that do know you, help us to cast aside all the other ways of thinking and place you at the center of our hearts and begin walking in your ways. Father, meet us now as we respond to you. In Christ's name we pray.